Thank you. It's good to be here. I'm excited but a little nervous standing here because of what my kid said to me recently. I have three children and one wife, and my three kids are 22, 18, and 17. But recently they came to me and this is what they said. They said, "Daddy, we don't think you're a good daddy." And I was kind of surprised because all my life, one of my dreams is becoming a good dad because I didn't think my father was a very good father, so I wanted to be a good father. And then I was very curious, why do you say I'm not a good daddy? I sat them down, three of them, and said, I told them, I gave them all the reasons why I'm a good daddy. I'm spending a lot of time with you. I don't beat you. I provide for you. I do all these things for you. And I was curious. I asked them, why do you think I'm not a good daddy? Guess what they said? They said, because you gave us your leftover time. I said, what do you mean leftover time? I gave you my best time of my life. Your leftover time. They began to explain that I gave them everything else that I did was very important. The church work and the professor work at University of Michigan. Every time I have a meeting, I say, I have a very important meeting. I have to go. I don't have time for this. And then they would come to me and they said, Daddy, can you look at this? I go, no. I'm having a very important meeting with these people. And then we make an appointment Saturday morning to do certain things. And my pastor calls me Friday night and said, there's a very important missionary coming tomorrow morning. Can you go meet him? I said, oh, sure, no problem. So I would tell my kids, can we cancel our appointment tomorrow because I have to meet a very important person. And they go, oh, okay, Daddy. And apparently they felt all their life that their time was not important time. And so as a good father, so I sat them down. I told them, Bible says obey your parents, and so you need to repent. You don't know, you don't understand how important things that we're doing right now. So repent. And the next morning I went to church, and I said, God, please help my children to change. I don't think they understand what you're doing around the world. I said, God, change my kids. And I felt the Holy Spirit said, end times, God's going to pour out His Spirit on all people. The sons and daughters shall prophesy. Yes, Lord, let them prophesy. And God said, your son and your sons and your daughter is prophesying to you that you're not a good daddy. And so that was the first time that I realized I'm not a good daddy. And I said, oh, God, help me. And then I went that evening and asked my kids, God agrees with you. I'm not a good daddy, what can I do to be a good daddy? And my little son, youngest son at that time goes, Daddy, give me your prime time. I go, what? What time? Prime time. You mean all day? No, just this time and this time. He says, okay. And I'm learning how to be a daddy, and especially when the young people are here, I feel unqualified to stand here to speak to you. So forgive me. My children don't even listen to me. What am I doing here, standing here, trying to speak to young people? But I have a message. Recently, I asked my kids, I was so curious, how am I doing as a daddy? And my youngest kid, no, my my son, the middle son, he goes, he gave me a 7.1 out of 10. No, my daughter gave me 7.1 out of 10. My son gave me 6.9. And my youngest son gave me 10. I said, yeah, you are right. They need to repent. But I was very curious. But I'm doing okay as a daddy. I'm improving. I'm learning, especially from my kids. I feel like I have a message. Past 6 months, I've been traveling around 14 countries. I was in Korea, then to America, then to Canada, then to Belgium, Netherlands, Germany, France, Switzerland, and Italy, and to Israel, and then back to Korea, and then to Egypt for a few weeks, and back to Korea, and then I came here yesterday, Because I think God gave me a message to speak to you. You guys ready to listen? I have 1 hour, maybe hour and a little longer. It's a short time, but you know, the Bible says one day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like one day. And so it could be short time, but hundreds of years can be compacted, because when eternity comes into this world, all things can change. When Jesus, King Jesus, touches us, everything can change. It's not because of me, but because I believe that God wants to really bless you, that we are here together. So can I say a prayer? And let's all pray together the same prayer that God taught us to pray for 2,000 years. And just for 30 seconds, let's pray, Thy kingdom come, right here. And let's think about what's in that kingdom. What's in the kingdom of God? When He comes here, what will happen to us? What will happen to us? Will we stay the same as we are? Or will something dramatically change because God's kingdom, King Jesus, comes right here? Is there anything that God cannot do? Is there anything that God cannot change in us if we allow Him to come and His kingdom to come? Anybody sick, if the kingdom come, can that kingdom, when it comes, because in Jesus' kingdom, is there sickness there? No, there's no sickness there. If it comes, perhaps there'll be healing. Those of us who doesn't have peace, there's a lot of anxiety of life. What would happen if the kingdom comes into our hearts? Can that anxiety be replaced by the peace of God? What if for young students, if the kingdom comes, can Jesus' wisdom come? Can you be the wisest person on the face of the earth? I believe yes. And let's think about what happens when the kingdom of God comes here. It's not just because we prayed. I believe because 2,000 years, all Christians all over the world in every language pray the same prayer. And what do you think? Do you think a kingdom will come? Right now? Amen? Oh, two people nodded. Rest of us, maybe, maybe not. Well, it's okay. We just need one person to have faith. Great faith. So let's pray that kingdom come. And whatever we are feeling inside, whatever there's needs inside, perhaps that when the kingdom comes, God will transform that part. In our family, in our church, even in Vancouver. Perhaps because we pray, the kingdom of God will move powerfully in this city. So let's pray for just 30 seconds. Okay? Okay. So let's pray. Let's pray with words so that our ears can hear. Our ears can hear. So let's pray for 30 seconds. Father God, thank you. We pray Thy kingdom come right now, Lord God, right now. When your kingdom comes, let it be so powerful that there is nothing that can resist, that will cast out demons, that would heal the sick, raise the dead, feed the thousands as Jesus did. And you said, we will do the things that Jesus did and even greater things. Let King Jesus come, Lord God, and Father's name be hallowed here. Thy will be done as it is in heaven, right now, Lord God, not tomorrow, not yesterday, but today, Lord God. Let eternity come, touch us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you. I love China and I love Canada. The reason that I love China is because Jesus loves China. Amen? What do you think? Jesus loves China? Yeah. I think Jesus loves China more than any other nation in the world right now. You know why? Yeah, the greatest number of people are there. And there's another reason. Greatest number of Christians are there. You know, there's a greatest number of hours in prayer are being lifted up in China than anywhere else in the world. I saw a data, how many hours people pray in different parts of the world. More hours are lifted up in prayer in China than anywhere else in the world. I saw data that said for pastors in China, they pray how many hours a day do you think Chinese pastors pray per day? 5 hours? Oh, that much? No, they pray hour and a half per day. How many hours do you think pastors in Korea pray per day? 60 minutes, 1 hour. How many hours pastors pray in United States per day? 7 minutes. Yeah. Wherever there's prayer, the move of God is moving very powerfully. Because house of the Lord, the Bible says, my house should be called house of what? Prayer. That's right. Is this house filled with prayer? Yeah. Amen. Do you get together every day, come here to pray and fill this, make this place a house of prayer for all nations? Amen? Okay. If not, let's gather every day here, set a time to pray for the nations and imagine what God will do. Because people are fulfilling God's house as house of prayer. So I love China because God loves China. And I love Canada because God loves Canada. And Canada, there's amazing thing that God is doing through Canada all over the world right now. It's very interesting. If I had time, I would love to talk about it, but I only have an hour, so let me just move on. Oh, I was going to make everybody stand up and hug each other, but what do you think? Can stand up, hug at least two people, and say, God bless you, I love you. Some of you guys are so awkward, huh? Yeah, thank you. You know, Asians are not very good at hugging. It's so awkward. You don't know which way to turn our head. But there's a research out that if you hug three times a day, three people, you're hugged three times a day, your heart comes alive. Yeah. Yeah. And if you hug six times a day, your hug overflows. If you hug nine times a day, it releases to other people. I don't know how they did the research, but that's what they say. So hug many people. If Jesus came here tonight, what do you think Jesus would do? Yeah, I think he would hug each one of us, saying, I love you. I don't think he would come here to say, you miserable people. I think he will first reveal his love to us. So, what do you see here? Frog. Anybody see something different?
Horse.
Horse. Horse? He must be hallucinating. All right, turn your head to the right. Go like this. What do you see? Yeah. To the right, not to the left, but to the right. Okay, how about this? All right. It's the same picture. Yeah, same picture. If you turn it this way, it looks like a frog. If you turn it this way, it looks like a horse. Now look to the person next to you, right and left. What do they look like? Do they look like a son of God with such authority and power? Or do they look like something different? A daughter of God with all authority in heaven and earth. It depends how we look at each other. I'm going to talk about identity today. But identity is not something about how I feel about myself. It's what God says who we are. That's important, right? The Creator. And so I'm going to try to talk about them. I'm going to review something we talked about yesterday as well. And this is one of my favorite Bible verse, Jeremiah 5:1. And let's all read it together. Ready?
go up and down the streets of Jerusalem, look around and consider, search through her squares. If you can find but one person who deals honestly and seeks the truth, I will forgive this city. Amen. Let's read it one more time, but replace this to Vancouver. Okay, ready? Go. Go up and down the streets of Vancouver, look around and consider, search through her squares. If you can find but one person who deals honestly, seeks the truth, I will forgive this city. Amen. Amen. God is looking for how many people? Yeah. What if each one of us becomes one person? And one person, how many multiplied by so many people here? What do you think? How many cities will God forgive? How many nations do you think God will forgive? Whose word is this? Who said this? God said this. If God said this, do you think God is lying or telling the truth? Truth. Do you believe it? Do you believe if one person here who deals honestly and seeks the truth, God will forgive this city and cleanse this city and renew this city and bless this city? Yes? Amen. Amen. What do you think? What happens when two people multiply? And so, consider this as we talk about identity as a background. But I see in some of the eyes, there's a lot of doubt. It's a good thing to talk about, but it's never true. Maybe it's not, it doesn't happen because we don't believe it. We don't believe it. Because the Bible says, by faith, we do things. By faith. By faith, we don't do. So, forgive this city, renew this city. I love this Bible verse. Because God is always looking for one person. What's your name in the front? Chen? Chen? C-H-E-N? Cheng? He's looking for Cheng. Yeah, not the person next to you, but Cheng. Yeah, not the other side, but you. Honestly, and seeks the truth. And who is the truth? Am I the truth? My opinion is truth, right? No, never. My opinion changes every day. Truth never changes. My knowledge changes every day. Truth. Jesus is the truth. So those who seek Jesus, you'll find that truth. And yesterday we ended with this, with my son praying. I want to introduce my family. I see three generations here, grandparents, young men and women, and sons and daughters. So this is me, 1973, when I came to immigrate to America. I'm very cute, my mother. And this is now my family. If this one wife is here and three children here, 22, 18, and 17. Any young men, you know, wherever I go, I'm keeping my eyes open. And this is a few years ago. And this is my father and my mother. My father went to heaven last year in December. He was 81 years old. We had a great celebration. And I feel so blessed. We came, none of us were Christians when we first came to America. And now, you know, three families came to America. Now there's like more than 100 people, extended families. And 99% of us are Christians and doing the work of the Lord. It's so blessed, so blessed. And the only person who's not Christian yet is my Jewish American uncle. We're praying for him. And this is my kid when he was growing up. We lived a very typical, my wife usually like this, even now. We lived a very typical, ordinary American immigrant life. my daughter, as we were traveling around the world, there's some pictures, some of my extended film. Here's my Jewish American uncle here. Because of him, we came to America. My aunt married him. And I heard that he proposed 3 times. She rejected him 3 times. And this is, I don't know if you know, Lauren Cunningham. She's one of my favorite people to be around with. We traveled together. He's the founder of Youth of the Mission. And this is in Israel at the Wailing Wall. And this is Uganda. I learned from him that he's the one who told me, he said, Jesus is coming back soon. I said, how do you know? He goes, because before, he said his tribe used to be cannibals, used to eat humans. Now, they're sending missionaries to Europe, this tribe. Anybody know where this is? Yeah, North Korea. And we bought North Korean clothing. And we were able to pray with these soldiers. And this is the Panmunjom, the 38th parallel. This side is South Korea. This side is North Korea. And so I went across North and South Korea 38 times. Yeah. I was taking pictures. I went, one. So I tell people that I went to North Korea 38 times. Which is true. And they asked me to write something on this guest list. And I wrote something there. That is time for North and South to be one, to be a blessing to the nations. And this is in Korea. This is in, I think, Jordan. This is my daughter. She loves to travel around the world. Ever since she was 12 years old, she's been traveling, especially in Middle East. And this is in Turkey. Jordan, Israel, Japan. Oh, we're trying to make love sign. But my wife couldn't jump high enough to. And my daughter again in India. India, this is in Israel. And there's some talks that we did in different places. And you know, we were invited to some TV shows to talk about our marriage. Because she wrote a book called Kingdom Family. It became very popular in Korea because she was so honest how terrible relationship that she had with this husband. She was very happy as a single. As soon as she got married, she became very depressed for 5 years. I'm a psychiatrist. I'm supposed to help her, but I created depression for my wife. And she wrote a book on it, how I became depressed after I got married. Apparently they like books like this. Sure. They don't like success stories anymore. They like problems. And so they're asking questions. Why
was this man so terrible to you?
It's just answering these questions. And I'm trying to defend myself over here. No one believed me. And how God intervened in our lives and taught us what marriage is. So we're married for 25 years and having a wonderful time. I feel like now it's like honeymoon began. So marriage gets better and better and better and better, right? Right? Some single
people are going, yes. Married people are going,
oh, are you kidding? You know, greatest wave of God is coming. I'm not a very good speaker. I don't pretend to be a good speaker, nor qualified speaker, but I know something that God is doing around the world. And God is moving very rapidly to bless his people in a very powerful way. Because I think Jesus wants to come back for the church. In the Bible, 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, I'm coming back. Just in case people missed it, he said it three times in Revelation chapter 22. He's going to come back for us. And 2,000 years passed. And he even said, I'm coming back soon. And my son, youngest son, always asks, Daddy, Jesus says soon is 2,000 years. And sometimes I said, I'll do that soon. He always distinguishes, he goes, Daddy, soon or Jesus soon? But 2,000 years passed, and I believe Jesus is coming back soon. I don't know when, but I feel the footsteps of God coming to earth. And before he comes, I believe that he's going to pour out his spirit on all people in a powerful way. And he's going to transform everything, shake everything, which the Bible says. And at that time, sons and daughters will prophesy. They will speak something, crazy things of God. And young people will see visions. They're just looking at things, they're going to see visions. Supernatural visions of God. And the old men, the Bible said, will dream dreams. God's going to enter into our lives through dreams. It's not my words, God's word. I believe it's happening now. It's going to increase even more than ever before. And so greatest wave is coming. Can you press the play button over there? There's a underneath. It's going to look like this. This is the father's parents' generation. This is the younger generation. They need this kind of thing too, right? But this is the wave that God is creating all over the world. And this is young people, young new generation, the global generation, the digital generation. And they're riding on their surfboard, which is their calling. And stay on your calling. Don't go on other people's calling. Find out what your calling is and write it. And the greatest wave of God is coming. Look at that. And use this energy to fulfill God's calling in your life. And the glory of God will cover the earth like the wave, like the water covers the sea. And it will cover you as well, but don't stop. Keep going. Other nations to go, to disciple, to bless. Ah. Okay. Are you excited for this new wave of God? The reason Chinese are different, this is going to be a big wave. We need a big country to ride this wave. Every 500 years and every 70 years, God raises up nations. Nations have calling, different calling from different nations. And certain time in history, God raises certain nations. A long time ago, God raised up Israel. Another time, God raised up European nations, particularly England, to take the gospel all over the world. And another time, God raised up America to send missionaries all over the world and to bless. And so America was blessed. Another time, God raised up a small nation called South Korea. America is the number one missionary sending nation, and South Korea became a second missionary sending nation in the world. A small nation, but number second. And now, what nation do you think God is raising up and blessing? Yeah, China. Yeah. Particularly this year. Do you know why? Yeah, every 70 years, God does something new. And for China, this is the 70th year of a new China that began in 1949. Yes. And within that new China period, although a lot of other things happened, a lot of challenges, difficult things happened, what God did in China is what? What is the greatest thing in history of the world did God do? There was more salvation in China than any time in history of the world. More people were saved in China, more people became Christian in China than any time in history of the world. Is that significant? Yeah. And right now, China is the most Christian, in terms of number, nation in the world. It exceeds the United States in terms of number of Christians. It's the number one. And what will God do with all of these Christians? Make them sit at home and watch Korean drama? And make sure their sons and daughters go to Harvard? No, not only that, way beyond that, way beyond that. You know, way beyond Canadian dream, way beyond buying a big house and nice cars. And I believe that's what God is doing now. And that's what God, the message God gave me is to focus on China. And so that's why I'm traveling around the world. Wherever Chinese young people are, that's where I'm going. Isn't that exciting? Yeah, and thank God that they're not rejecting me. They're some places inviting me to come. I'm here for the first time, but I hope to be back because there's so much I want to share, especially with young people and parents. Parents, because they're raising the young people. So I want to share some of the, especially because I'm a psychiatrist, there's such a challenge among the young people. I think the devil, the demonic forces know this is the greatest generation that ever lived. And there's the greatest attack for your generation. That's why it's so challenging and difficult. Some leadership insights. Yesterday I said, I told you how I became interested in leaders. I have zero leadership interest. Just an ordinary Asian little boy, shy. Didn't care anything else other than becoming a doctor, but God spoke to my heart to help raise up godly leaders in their generation to impact their world for Christ. So that's what I've been trying to do all over the world, and this is the few insights that I received. Number one, can we read it together? Number one, world has problems. Simple statement: world has so many problems. Today I met some people here. We all have so many problems, right? I never met anybody who didn't have any problems. But number two, leaders have solutions. Yeah, it's okay to have problems because there are solutions. We just need to find that solution. Number three, biggest problem is failure or responsibility. There's so many problems, but the biggest problem of all, I believe, is people not taking responsibility of the problems. Number four, leaders are born when they take responsibility. So anybody in the world can become a leader when they begin to take responsibility for something. Something. Something that will bless something. If you could bless something, you're taking a leadership. Number five, good leaders develop thousands of leaders, community responsible leaders. Not so good leaders, they develop thousands of followers. Good leaders make you feel like you are the most important person in this church. Bad leaders makes you feel that I am the most important person in this place. If I make you feel like I am the most important person here, then I failed in my leadership. But if I succeed in helping you see that you are the most important person in this room, then I've succeeded. And a little more insights. I want to continue with this a little bit. All good leaders take responsibility for problems or something. Can we all read this together? All godly leaders pray. Yeah. Secular leaders, Christian leaders, other religious leaders, they take responsibilities of something, of problems that they're facing, small and big. But all godly leaders, I've seen, they pray. I've never seen godly leaders who do not pray. So where's the greatest prayer right now? Who's praying the most? China. What do you think? Where do you think the leadership will come from? Place where there's such prayer. That's why I believe that God is raising up Chinese leaders now, because of prayer that went into it. And as a fruit of that prayer, God is raising up leaders. Like John Wesley, founder of Methodist Church, do you know when he woke up to pray? I give you a gift. You know, it's too easy, right? 3, 4, 5, 6. 4 o'clock, he woke up to pray in his room for 1 hour, 4 to 5. And he went to church 5 to 6 to pray with the church people. What about Harvard? You know, Harvard is one of the best universities, well-known universities in the world. Harvard founder. What do you think Harvard students, do they pray every morning? Yeah, there's a thing called the morning prayer. Every morning, 7 to 8, before class started, students were required to pray every morning. And that took place over 150 years. Do you think God would bless that university? Yes. Yes. Of course. Of course. And in Korea, when I was born in 1964, it was one of the poorest nations in the world, second poorest nation in the world after the Korean War. But what did they do? Now, 2019, do you know they're one of the richest nations in the world? I don't know, in one generation they became so rich. They became not only rich, but it's amazing blessings of God. The greatest number of churches per capita was built in Korea. A fastest democratized nation in the world. The education level was the highest, almost highest illiteracy rate it was in Korea. Now there's zero illiteracy rate in Korea. How did that happen? Korean church is known as a praying church. Every morning, at least an hour, every church in Korea, what do? Do they study? Send their kids to early morning school? Yeah, they took their little babies with them to pray. What about nighttime prayer? They stayed up all night to pray. I think they were desperate. There was no food. There's nothing there. So they had to pray. So they prayed. And God answered their prayers and raised up that nation as one of the key nations in the world, key missionary nation in the world, second leading missionary nation in the world. Imagine that. They never sent any missionary ever before. They never went out of Korea before. That's what they're called, hermit kingdom. But when Christianity came, they went all over the world. And God blessed it because they prayed. What about China? They are praying more than Koreans now. God's going to bless this nation. What about Daniel? What about me? Why am I going around the world? Why is God blessing me so much? Why is, when I walk around, do you see dollar bills falling around, dancing behind me? Canadian dollars following me? Yeah. I see it. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness first. First his kingdom. First thing we seek in the morning is his kingdom. First priority is kingdom. Then all these things. Everything we could possibly imagine, God will provide so that he could establish kingdom. Most of us have a problem because we seek first my desires, my dreams, right? My kids' dreams. And then we ask God to bless that dream. But we forget to seek God's kingdom, King's kingdom. If you could do that, God is so generous, God, he will give you everything that you need. You need wisdom, more than wisdom he'll give you for his kingdom. Young people, What would you rather seek? Seek my pleasure, Canadian dream, or God's dream that has a promise He will add everything you ever need? Why are so many people depressed around the world? We're seeking depressing dreams. Dreams that depresses us. Oh, everybody looks so gloomy now. No, and the Bible is the truth. Nothing, this is the only thing that will last forever. Everything else will fall apart and go away. Our opinions, our knowledge, they change every day, right? I feel this way today. I feel that way tomorrow. Well, I love you today. I hate you tomorrow. Those will change, but this will never change. So I'd rather believe something that will never change than believe something that will change all the time with human philosophies and stuff. Even philosophy changes every few years, right? Knowledge changing so rapidly now. So I'd rather believe this. I think it's logical. It's very reasonable to believe what is good, right? What is never changing, what is true, than believe what is lies. American dream is a lie. It becomes American nightmare. And many of us are experiencing that nightmare after so many 20, 30 years of pursuing that. And so I don't know why I'm being so bold today, courageous today. I'm not like this. I'm very mild, very gentle, not confrontational, accommodating. But today, I think it's because this church and the people who are here today have a mandate that God wants to give, and God wants to bless you so much. And the good news for world problem is that there's new leadership is rising. The great and urgent call for Chinese diaspora families and churches to provide new leadership and solutions to fulfill the Great Commission. God is raising up Chinese people all around the world, especially diaspora people. There's 50 million Chinese all around the world in 121 nations right now. And there's 1 million plus young men and women studying at the greatest universities in the world. So who would be the smartest people in the world right now? Chinese. Because they are at the best institution all around the world in massive, big numbers. It's not because Chinese are more smarter. There's a more smarter Chinese in terms of numbers. Do you agree? So some of you are saying, oh, Dr. Peck, he doesn't know Chinese. Our family, we fulfilled the American dream in America. In 2011, God invited us to show. He said he wants to show the world that he loves so much, and asked me if I could take the kids and show them the world that God loves so much. And so I said, yes, let's go. So I quit my job. I quit everything in my church. I asked my wife, you know, this is what God said. You know, what do you think about going around the world, take the kids and showing how much God loves the world, John 3:16. My wife goes, oh, that's what she's been praying for, secretly praying for a long time. And I asked my kids, you know, hey, what do you think about traveling around the world? And my kids go, do we have to go to school? I said, no. Oh, okay, let's go. And so we were going to go around for a year, but it's been 8 years now. But I had a lot of questions before I left, probably the same question you may have. If God says, you know, would you like to travel around the world? I said, God, what do I do? And the answer is, seek God's kingdom first, and all this, whatever your question is, God will answer. And, okay. So second question is, what about money? And God said, seek his kingdom first, and all the money will dance and follow you around. Okay. I look back, and my spiritual eyes open. Come on, let's go. Do you know why God created airplanes? Anybody know why God created airplanes? To fulfill the Great Commission, to disciple all nations. He saw they were having a hard time going on ships for 6 months to go across the world. So he wants to make it easier for us to take 5 hours across the world. So he created an airplane for us to fulfill God's dream. All the airplanes, I feel like it's mine. So use it. I don't have time to take care of it, so you know they put Asiana, Koreana, United, Air Canada, but it's all mine. Do you know why it's mine? It's my father's. Everything that belongs to my father is, my father said it belongs to me too. He said, I'll give you all the inheritance to you as long as you ask for it. Right? The whole earth is whose? God's. The Bible says everything in it is whose? Do you read the Bible? Yes, right? Yeah. The earth belongs to who? God. Who's God? My Father. He's up there, so he gave everything to us here. So everything in it too. So planes, whose is it? Yeah. Some people are taking care of it for us because we don't have time to take care of it. We need to do other things. So I was coming from Korea. I was getting on Korean Air. I said, thank you for taking care of my plane. Thank you for doing a good job. Do you need anything? I didn't say that, but in my heart, that's what I was. I just said, thank you. things change. When your identity changes, the way you look at the world changes. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit. And so the other question I asked God, not only money, what about home? Where do we go? And God said, do you want one home in Ann Arbor, Michigan, or do you want many homes all around the world for your family? I said, oh, I'd rather have many homes around. Go. You'll never know if you don't go. So we went, and everywhere we go, there's a, you know, a guy said, this hotel is yours, that hotel's yours. And what about money? The American government is printing a lot of money for me to spend right now. Federal Reserve is printing so much dollar right now, and they're looking for people to spend. And so I thank the Federal Reserve. So I'm trying to figure out, they're printing so much money that I'm trying to figure out, how do I spend all this money? Let's go find some place to spend money in. I say this with such sincerity. This is what God wants. We are not slaves to this earth. We are the owners. We are the sons of God, daughters of God. And when we begin to believe that we are that identity, not slaves and orphans in this nation, not minorities in this nation, but we are the owner's son and daughters. Therefore, it belongs to us. If it belongs to us, we will take care of it, sacrifice for it, even die for it. If we're slaves, we will never die for anything. We will try to survive somehow. Several questions. I said, what about my kids' education? What do I do? God said, for this generation, young generation here, that the whole world is their playground. Let them play around the world, not in a small little playground in backyard. What about classes? Where do I send them to? God said, nations are their classrooms. There's 222 classes right now. What do you think? Doesn't nations feel like a classroom? Isn't that small little room so small for you? Huh? Trying to learn through the books, the old books that old people wrote about a long time ago? That's obsolete now? There's so many things are happening and changing around the world, we never know. But God gave us all of this technology, phones, and the internet, all of this, so that we could see the world everywhere. right? And to communicate. All for what? To fulfill God's dream. And so, and the other question I asked was, what about my wife? What if you come depressed again? It was so hard living with a very depressed woman. God said, don't worry. She'll be the happiest woman in the world. She is the happiest woman in the world. And so we've been running around the world. We don't even know what we're doing in reality, but just going to see what God is, figure out, trying to find out what God is doing, trying to participate what God is doing. And it's been a wonderful journey past 8 years. And one of the things I've been praying for was, God, take me to China. Wherever Chinese are, I want to go. But I need invitation to go. I can't just go. I'm here. Pastor, can I speak to you? But past 2 years, I've been privileged to go to China and many different places around the world to speak to Chinese people and to develop relationship. I was in Egypt for 2 weeks speaking to Chinese missionaries there. So I had a great time. Kingdom identity. The time is going by so fast. I went to medical school because of my parents, and as soon as I got to medical school, you know, I realized that I'm not very good in medical school. I start getting F's, especially in anatomy, which is the most important subject in medical school. Every time I take a test in anatomy, I get an F. Another test, F. What do you do when you get an F? You're supposed to study, right? But I went to pray. God help me. Give me photographic memory. I take another test, another F. I tried to study, but I had a hard time memorizing. I was good at solving problems, of memorizing. I had a very hard time. Later on, I found out God, there's a 7 different intelligences. It's very different for different people. And I was more spatially oriented rather than logically oriented. Memorization was not part of my strength. So I had a very hard time memorizing this. And so every time I took a test, I got an F. But problem-solving test, I got an A. And so after 6 months, I thought I couldn't do this anymore. It was so hard. So I went to my parents. I drove to my parents. I prayed hard. God, help me be bold. And I said, Mom and Dad, I need to tell you something. My mother, my father, so happy. They thought I had a nice girlfriend to introduce to. And I said, you know, medical school is so good. It's so nice. And after 6 months, you know, I don't think it's for me. I think I need to do something different. My father's face has turned so angry. All this, I sacrificed everything for you. I feel like that's what he was saying. He didn't say it, but and you're going to quit now? And my mother's face became so sad. That broke my heart. So, Omma, Mom, don't worry. I will continue to go to medical school. I just thought about these things. So don't worry. I'm going to go to medical school. Continue to go. And my mother was so happy. That's good, son. You're my good son. You know, parents are so powerful, I realized back then. They don't have to say anything, just their facial expression. Oh, it moves my heart. What do I do? I can't, I don't know how to, I'm getting F all this day. But there's one thing that I said at that time. I don't know what happened, but I felt, I said, Omma, Appa, Mom and Dad, you gave a son, a birth like an eagle son, but you're raising him like a little chicken in a chicken coop. Going back. Should I eat this? Should I eat this? Should I die? Or should I go? I've been a Christian for a long time, since fourth grade. And every time I read the Bible, I feel like an eagle. I go, the Holy Spirit is upon me. The wisdom of Solomon and Daniel and the power of Peter and go to the nations like Paul. And whenever you preach, people fall over. And you go to university, I'm smarter than the professors because I have God's wisdom. And so that's why
Every time I read the Bible, it feels like that. But the way I lived, oh, I don't want to wake up today. Oh, miserable life. Oh, I want to die. I can't do this anymore. And when I read the Bible, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Ah, go ye therefore and disciple all nations, and I will be with you. I feel so good. Yeah, let's go. Then I'm in the morning. Oh, I don't want to get up. Another test. And living like that, I felt like a little chicken in a chicken coop. But when I read the Bible, I feel like there's so much something God gave me that I need to spread my wing and to bless the nations. I don't know what he was, but and so I told my parents, and guess what my mother said? My mother said, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're eagle or chicken as long as you study well. As long as you get good grades, it's okay to be chicken or eagle. Okay, I went back and did my best. 1 year passed. I looked at the grade and I got an F. I had to repeat the year. And 1 year later, I got another grade. Guess what I got? Second time around. Yeah, another F. What do you do when you get F? Two Fs, you get kicked out of medical school. What do you do? You know, I don't mind getting kicked out, but every time I think about my mother and my father, God, you can't do that. They came to America for this, to make their son into a doctor. It's not my dream, it's their dream. You said, obey your parents. I'm obeying them. And you got to fulfill your part of the promise. What do? I went to pray. I don't know what else to do. I was listening to a little tape, a little testimony, and the testimony said, you know, they went to early morning prayer. God answered all their prayer, and they became number one in Harvard and number one in the medical school and number one doctor. I want to be like that. How did he become like that? He said, I went to early morning prayer. Okay, I'm going to early morning prayer. So I asked the pastor for the key. I opened. No one was there, so I was the only one. So I went there and prayed, God, help me. Nothing happened. A week later, nothing happened. 2 weeks later, nothing. God, give me photographic memories. Month later, you know, I felt like I got received that photographic memory. So I went to take the test. And okay, I'm concentrating. I looked at the question. Okay, I know. On page 168, on the bottom left corner, I could see that. I'm turning the page. Okay, right there. But I couldn't see the content. But after 40 days or so, I start to feel God's presence. I start to receive God's peace. No photographic memory, nothing like that. But peace of God. Some other joy of the Lord came to me. And I stopped worrying. I think Holy Spirit came upon me. Because afterwards, I'm reading the Bible. Fruits of the Holy Spirit was peace, joy, and love, and all kinds of good things. And then because I had peace, I was able to concentrate better, and I did better in my tests. So I was able to graduate in 6 years, not 4 years. That's the time when I learned to pray, that God gives us answers to my problems, questions. At that time, as I was praying, God gave me this insight. I was applying for residency program, psychiatry residency program in the University of Michigan, and I applied. Only place I applied over there, University of Michigan Hospital, was because my fiance was there. I didn't want to go anywhere else other than that place because I told God, God, we're going to be married soon, and you said that they should become one. You cannot be separated, so I must go to University of Michigan Hospital. And as soon as I submitted my application, they sent me a letter, a rejection letter. I said, we cannot accept you because you have two Fs. And they never accepted anybody with Fs before. What do you do? Pray. Yes. Pray. Yeah. Some people are looking at me, yeah, big deal. It is a big deal. Yeah, he's the creator God. He knows everything. He wants to give us wisdom, understanding, all good things to us. All gifts he wants to give to us. But those who seek him, he will give it to.
So I went to pray again. God, what do I do? Then God gave me a little wisdom. He said, write a letter. So I sat down and wrote a letter. It took me 15 minutes. Guess what I said? I was born in 1964 in the second poorest nation in the world. In 1973, we came to America as an immigrant family. America is a wonderful nation. It's a land of immigrants, land of opportunity, and so on and so on. Abraham Lincoln said this. John F. Kennedy said this. All the good things I could think about America, I said it here. And they gave us opportunity to graduate from university and now medical school, now in potential leadership, and so on and so on. But I had a very challenging time in America. Because I didn't know whether I was a Korean or an American. Sometimes it felt like an American, sometimes it felt like a Korean. And I was very confused. Because my identity was very confused, my concentration was very difficult, and it was reflected on my grades. Originally, I'm a very smart man, but I was confused. And so I couldn't get good grades. So there's two Fs there. But now I look at the world, you need people like me. Because the world became a global world, and America is a multicultural nation, so you need a people like me who understand different cultures and who came from different parts of the world. And I said, I can make a great contribution to your university hospital if you accept me. If you don't accept me, I will go to another hospital and make a big contribution. You'll regret it. And I explained what I was confused about. And this is what I said at that time. I said, as a Korean, I learned that our identity is we. As an American, my identity is I. And I said, this is a very different approach to life. In Korean, everything's we. There's no such thing as I. You know, even in this, I never would say this is my church. It's always our church, our house, our nation, our food. Even when I introduced my wife, I said, this is our wife. Yeah, in Korean, that's how we introduce. This is our wife. Imagine introducing my wife. This is our wife. This is Ashley. They probably go, no, this is your wife, not ours. And I was explaining, that's the big difference. And so they asked for an interview, and they were asking me about questions about this thing. What do you mean, we, I? In America, everything's I, my life. If I'm not satisfied, it doesn't matter. It's me, my life. I don't care what anybody else says about my life. But in Korea, it's our, us. The approach to psychiatry needs to be more inclusive of different cultural understandings. They go, oh, that's fascinating. I said, I grew up learning to be very passive as a Korean boy. And as American, I was taught to be very aggressive and assertive. As a Korean, I was taught to accept the world as it is. As American, I was taught to change the world, never accept the world as it is. As a Korean, we're taught to think deeply before we say anything. As American, we were taught to act whatever, just act. Just do something. Don't think. Do it. As a Korean, we believe in freedom of silence. As an American, we believe in freedom of speech. And they ask, what do you mean freedom of silence? What kind of freedom is that? I said, as a Korean, I was taught to be quiet. As I was growing up, my parents always told me, be quiet. I say something, be quiet. It's always listen. Listen to your parents. Listen to your pastor. Listen to your teacher. They never told me to say something. You speak. But when I went to American school, they always go, Daniel, what do you think about this? I always say, oh, I don't know. Their teacher would go, what do you think about this? And I don't know. What do you think about this? They ask so many questions like that. What do you think about that? So finally I said, I think it's good. And then they would ask, what is good? I don't know. Because I was never taught to speak as a Korean. I was always taught to listen. I'm not talking about good or bad. It's a different culture. And so I was always listening to teacher. You're supposed to teach me. Don't ask me questions. Teach me. I should ask you questions. I'm not here to teach you. It was a different cultural orientation about learning. And the teacher would say, after school, they go, Daniel, can I talk to you? Privately. Daniel, are you okay? Are you depressed? is your parents okay? Everything okay at home? I said, yeah, everything's good. Why are you so quiet? I don't know. And they go, you know, what do you think about it? You know, one-on-one, I said, oh, I think number one, number two, I think this is good. This is what I think about this. Oh, that's fascinating. That's wonderful. Can you share that in class? They go, sure. So in class, I will share it. They go, oh, that's good, good, good. So I would go home. You know, mom and dad, this is what I think about this. Number one, number two, number three. What do you think? Come here, sit down. What happened to you? Why do you talk so much? I would go to church and, you know, pastor, I would have, you know, I think this, you know, I'm not sure if this is what it says about the Bible. I think this, and that. You go, come here, sit down. You know how much rice I ate more than you? Meaning that, you know how much older I am? Be quiet and listen, okay? You don't know much, so be quiet. So then I shut down again. Then be quiet. So I felt like, as soon as I leave home, I'm in America. As soon as I go home, I'm in Korea. That door is like a Pacific Ocean. Every day I cross the Pacific Ocean back and forth several times a day. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. We marry first, then love. As American, we love first, then marry, then divorce. Korean, our love is mute. American, our love is vocal. You know, I have to say, I love you. Otherwise, my kids don't think I love them. Daddy, you don't love us. Yes, I love you, I love you, I love you. So I have to say, I love you, I love you, I love you. Because all Americans say, I love you. As, I told them, they go, what do you mean love is mute? I told them, you know, my parents never told me that they love me. I'm so sorry. And then I explained, in Korean culture, you know, saying I love you, they think it's cheap. So they don't say I love you, they act, they sacrifice for those whom they love. And sacrifice is considered love, especially sacrifice that they don't even know about. That's called real love. They go, oh, that's fascinating. You mean you don't say I love you, but you love each other? You go, yeah. Wow, that's interesting. And so on and so on and so on. And so we've been crossing over back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I explained that, you know, now in the global world, you know, the West is about, you know, 17% of the world population, the Western population. It doesn't include all the population in the world. And many of the population are different cultural orientation. I think we need to develop new way of helping people. And go, oh, that's good. So guess what they did? Yeah, they accepted me. Yeah, that's why I'm here. And so this is something very different as immigrant experience. If you lived here several generations, this is not very true. But for immigrant generation, especially 1.5 and second generation, this is where they're living, and their identity is very unsure. Parents say, you're Chinese. The Canadians say, you're Canadian. So who am I? You're both. You're both. You have genes from China and genes from Canada. Dual identity, multi-identity. It's like two wings, eastern wing and western wing. Huh? Two wings. Imagine just flapping one wing. You'd be circling. Two wings. Yeah. People, the whole world is changing so rapidly. They need people who understand the West and the East. The world is divided into either South and North, but usually East and West. And they need people who understand both worlds. Not only from books, but they live through it. You live through the Western world and suffer through it, many of you. Trying to understand and cope with these cultural differences and language barriers and cultural barriers. But you succeeded, and the kids succeeded. That means we are in position for great, amazing leadership. I don't think you guys believe me here, but that's what I believe. Watch the future. Problem, campus depression and suicide. What do you do? There's, you know, Asian students, the suicide rate Asian students was so high in University of Michigan, I did a research. Is it true? All over the country, it was number one in the world. especially Korean students. So what do you do when you see problems like this? Leaders, there's problems in the world. What do leaders do? Yeah, they create solutions. So what do I do? Yeah, pray. Leaders have solutions, but godly leaders, what do? They pray for God's solution. Yeah. They receive solution from the Lord, the creator of the universe. Yeah. Because that's the perfect solution there. And so pray for solution. And so God really blessed it and allowed me to travel all around the country to speak about this issue and provide answers. And after they hired me, after 1 year of research and intervention, zero suicide. Yeah. God gave me wisdom to intervene. You know, I look so young. That was a long time ago. You know, another problem that we faced as a Korean-American community in America, I talk about Korean-Americans, I think it's very similar with Chinese-Canadian, the pattern is very similar. There's a similar pattern. So I think if you could talk about Korean, that I'm very familiar with, I think there's something that could be learned from that experience as well. You know, after 100 years of immigration history in America, there's a division between first and second generation. They're so wide that children and the adults, this gap was so big that they could not communicate and that they could not live together even. There's such difficult times. Yeah. And reasons are many, cultural reasons, language barriers, and, you know, it's just different backgrounds. You know, my parents' generation, they grew up in poverty. My generation, we grew up in plenty. You know, I never suffered because there's no food. But my parents suffered a lot because they could not eat everything that they wanted to eat. They did not. It was such a poverty-stricken nation at that time, post-war nation. So different backgrounds, different needs, and different values. Even though we go to the same church, they're different value systems. And so there's such a division there. And the other was the 90% of young generation, they left their church after college, up to 95%. Only 5% is in church right now. So Korean church is declining because young people are all gone now. And the older people are first generation, 70s and 80s. So who will take leadership? So what do? Pray. Yeah. Pray for what? Pray for God's solution to this. Yeah? Men can talk about this all they want, but unless we seek the Lord for his solution, we will not find godly solution. Can you press that? It's a video.
You're watching NBC 10 News.
So we'll gather people to pray for America's revival and the churches in America.
Thousands of Korean American and other Christians from all across
the
United
States. This is in Philadelphia. We gathered together 5,558 people registered and gathered together. And the news people were so surprised. Why are all these Asians gathering in Philadelphia? So we came to pray for this nation. And so they came to interview.
And joining us now to talk more about the convention is Janet.
And this is Dr. John Kim.
And Dr. Bruce Thompson,
who's a founder of a movement called
Thanks for joining
Jesus
us,
Awakening Movement for America.
Dr. Kim, let me start with you.
Korean American, Asian American coming together to pray for America.
Yes, JAMA stands for Jesus Awakening Movement for America and all nations, based upon 2 Chronicles of 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal the land. This is awakening movement for America and for revival, so that all the Christians come together to come back to God from our wicked ways, humbly with repentance, so that this nation again will be revived
live interview, they can
once
cut him
more.
Off.
Dr. Kim, why did you choose Philadelphia to host this year's event?
Well, 150 years ago, I don't know, remember or not, Don, actually what has happened is entire city, more than 150,000 people mobilized for awakening for not only Philadelphia, this movement going all over the country for next 2 years, more than a million people converted to Jesus Christ. And you know what has happened? After this movement, Korean people received two missionaries from Philadelphia, from New York and New Jersey. Those people born in the area changed the Korean history. And those people who inherited the Christianity come to America. And now, this is 150 years in Philadelphia. We want to have a commemoration of that great awakening movement. Again, we're going to start another great awakening movement from the city.
All right. And this question is for...
You're watching and...
I hope you see a bigger picture than just me and my family. The reason I'm showing bigger picture is because unless you see bigger picture and pursue big picture, it's hard to come out of depression and other disorders. It's very difficult. Because as Christians, unless we enter into God's big picture and obey, then the small, our family and our children, as we move together, there'll be such blessing and such healing. Otherwise, there'll be such division and such challenge for even within the family. So that's one of the reasons I'm showing you a bigger picture. God brought you here to China, not just so that we could live well. I think China lived well now, much better than maybe Canada. I saw so many rich Chinese, amazing. They're buying land. I traveled to Middle East with Chinese businessmen. They bring cash to buy land right immediately, right there. I go, where'd you get all this money? I have lots more of this. Let's go buy more land right now. Something about China, God is blessing. So I believe that God brought you here to be a blessing to Vancouver, especially as Christians. And if you're not Christian, I believe that God brought you here so that God could give you new faith so that you could be a blessing to here and China and rest of the world. And when you think to be a blessing, God will bless you and release new blessings to do that. They said the generation didn't have any vision, so we started to take the kids, send the kids to all over the world to see, have a global vision. They began to go as missionaries, high school students, junior high school students. A little bit louder. Especially the Muslim, okay, Muslim nation. This is a junior high and high school student going to Middle Eastern nations, or the Muslim nation, Islam nation. And basically what she's saying is wherever there's no gospel, that's where they want to go. Wherever there's no worship of Jesus, they want to go there and worship Jesus to change the nation. So they're sharing the gospel with the Muslims. You know, when children go, people's heart are wide open. When adults go, they're very suspicious. Why are you here? Especially when the Asians go, they open their heart. When the white people go, they have a hard time because of all that wars and other things that happen. You know, you don't even have to speak English. You just have to learn how to speak broken English. Share the gospel. Look at her cry. Look at her cry. Because one person is receiving Jesus as their Savior. At this time, I received Jesus as my Savior. Lord, save me from my sins. She was a ninth grader at that time. When the young people started having visions beyond my studies, they became awakened. but so that they could serve nations.
시온의 대로를 수축하라라고 외치면서
And so gather in the streets and gather all these young people as much as possible to share with them, you know, one way or the other, how much God loves them. And they would do this kind, play soccer together, do drama,
worship, 부채춤, 태권도 등 우리의 것을 나누는 동안 노인 아이들 상관없이 모두 다 환영했습니다.
Cultural dance, and the crowds gather, taekwondo, karate, and the crowds start, they start to come, they start to share the gospel, and then take away the microphone, and then we get out of my country and start to kick them out. What do you do when you get kicked out? Pray! They say, get out, get out, get out, get out. But some people, they say, thank you for coming.
우리와 손을 잡고 서로 안으며 기도하였고, 일부는 흥분하여 자신들의
신앙으로
나가 이슬람 기도를 하였습니다. 청소년들은 현지인들을 붙잡고 눈물로 복음을 전하고 기도하였습니다. 예수 믿으세요. 야수아 이분이
나라. He will save you. He will transform this nation
and your family.
God wants to bless you. And so they get kicked out, so they go outside. Lord, help them to know they've been chosen, and they've been loved by God. And this nation is a great nation of God. And this young junior high school students, they said, they're not going to worship. We will worship in this land.
복음이 심어지고 눈물의 기도가 뿌려졌으며 믿음의 선포가 있었습니다.
이제 이 땅에 주님의 나라가 이루어져야 합니다.
주님. We declare this nation is Jesus' nation. Tonight, Lord God, Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come here, Lord God, so that they could be blessed. This is what part of what my daughter did as she was growing up. Imagine, what do you think they would think about when they come back? Imagine how they approach these guys. Oh, they get smarter. They have meaning now. Why they need to go to Harvard? Meaning why they need to study certain majors. Why then to do business and create so much wealth and bless this nation? You know, this generation, unless we have a vision, the Bible said without vision, people perish. In young generation, they don't have a vision.
우리는 믿습니다.
No one gave them a vision.
반드시 하나님의 교회가
beyond
이 땅에 세워질
Canadian
것을.
Dream, beyond a dream for me. How do I please myself? That's one of the things. No dream, no vision, no godly vision that serves other people. Whether you know, Western churches declining, they say. So what do? You just sit there and do nothing? They said, this great nation, America, they send missionaries all over the world, bless Korea so much way. Canada bless Korea and China send missionaries from the West, went to China. That's why China became greatest Christian nation, because of the missionaries. And now that sending countries are declining very rapidly, becoming very weak. What do we do? Oh, see, that's good. We arise. What do you do? Pray. So, my family, what did we do last year? 2017, 2019, we went to pray all over parts of Canada, all over America. This is the churches that we visited to pray early morning. Without money, without anything, but God provided cars, money, funds, and hotels, and planes, and everything that we need. Even we go to restaurants, American restaurants, and we go there, and the owner, you go, you know, you look like such a nice people. We want to give you a gift. So, you know,
I'm going to pay
for your dinner.
Like, why? Something about you is very special. I said, but if that's the case, can we pray for you?
So we pray for with the owner. Kingdom comes down, that she goes, so transformed, so touched by God, that she began to cry. I used to go to church, 40 years ago. I never went to church. Now I feel like, oh, thank you so much for praying for me. And they go, wait. She goes back, brings her mother. Can you pray for my mother? Things like that happen all over. And so this is just to show you, what do we do when we face problems? This depends who you think you are, your identity. Identity. That's why I want to, this as a conclusion, I want to share with identity. If you think you are nobody here, you will not do anything. If you think you are God-sent ambassador for Christ here, then you will act like an ambassador here. So identity is so important. So for me, what changed? This ordinary, flunking out boy, Asian boy who didn't like America, just went to church and wanted, only dream is become a doctor because the parents told him to become a doctor. What changed for me? What changed? My identity changed. I'm not just Korean American. Something much more than that. But Korean American is a very special, unique identity that can spread two wings, east and the west, just like Chinese Canadians. And Peter, what changed for Peter, ordinary fisherman to greatest leader in the history of the world? What changed for him? His identity changed. His name changed from Simon to Peter. His identity changed. What changed for Paul, persecutors of the church, into someone, the greatest evangelist in the world, history? What changed for him? His name changed. Saul to Paul, his identity changed. God gave him new identity. So I could talk about a lot of different identities. I taught identity at the University of Michigan. Gender identity, ethnic identity, national identity, socioeconomic identity, rich, poor, and so on, different kinds of identity. But whatever identity you ascribe to, if you still think you're a slave, you'll act like a slave. Yeah. But if you think that you have the authority from heaven and earth to create change on this earth and even in heaven, then you'll act like a king and be able to sacrifice your life for a nation and for your family. And this same goes for young people too. Otherwise, they'll be so happy with just doing video games all day long for the rest of their life. So what changed? Identity. Let me move on. Identity, this determines, this is the important part here, your identity change determines what you love and value. Does it make sense? Who you are determines what you love and you value. If you try to change what you love and value, you never change. But if you change your identity, that will change automatically. Your identity determines what you see. I come here, I see my identity is shifted and changed. I see a great nation of God here. What your identity, who you think you are, determines what you do. Your mission. Yeah. Who you are determines everything. Who? So who are you? Who do you say you are? So who do people say you are? And this is a question that Jesus asks his disciples. Who do you say I am? And when Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of God, Jesus was so surprised that upon his faith, I will build my church. And who determined Hades, hell, will not prevail against you because you had a correct identity. And Jesus said, I'll give you the keys of heaven and earth. What you open on earth will be opened in heaven. What you loose on earth will loose in heaven. Identity. Otherwise, young people will decide to become who they were taught to become in the school. Because that's where they spend most of their time in. 7, 8 hours. How many hours do you spend in your school per day? 6, 7 hours? Yeah. And that's where you spend most of your time every day for next 20 years. And they will become who they say they are. And so this needs to be determined. I call it what you love and value is called passion. What you see in the world is called vision. What you do is called mission. But all of this is determined by identity. So just I want to share with two identity among many. Do you live like a slave or do you live like a king leader? I know what slave looked like, feels like. I lived like a slave all my life. With fear. Slave to academics, slave to work, slave to other people, so fearful that I will not accomplish anything. And but as a king, all of this changed for me. Whole view changed. Airplane, it's all for me. Hotels, oh, God created hotels all over the world for me to travel around. Smartphones, oh, so I could communicate with my family and friends and people all around the world very quickly, even, you know, face-to-face. University, why did God create university? Oh, so I could go there and understand the world systems and learn about everything in the world so I could help transform the world. Money, so I could spend money. Hollywood, so that they could create movies for me. Spielberg, everybody, they're using so much money just to make movie for me. Nations are created so that we could bless the nations. Psalm 2:8, it says, ask of me, I will give you the nations as your inheritance. So ask for the nations. Young man, Abraham, ask for nations. Do you think God will give you the nations? Yeah, because he promised that he will give you the nations as his inheritance, your inheritance. That means in order to bless the nation, God will raise you up to a position to bless the nations. I could ask two ways. God, help me to be the doctor, best doctor, most creative doctor in the world so that I could have the greatest glory. Or, God, help me to be a great doctor in the world so that I could bless the nations. Which one sounds better? Same doctor, but the purpose is different. One's for your selfish motivations, one's for the blessing of the nations. And we are here to bless people. America, Canada, and China. So when I go to China, I feel like, China is my nation. Nations belong to people who love the nations. And leadership is about who? Who? Not what you do. It's about who you are. Education about young people, before you put them in an education system, understand who they are. Because depending on who they are, education becomes different. If I'm a slave, if my child is a slave child, then he will have a slave's education. But if he's a royal child, king's son, they have a different education system. And the Bible said we are royal priesthood. We are royalty. So our kids, our children, are coming from royal blood of Jesus. And we need to provide them with king's education. Royal education.
Which means how to serve nations.
Right? Oh, some of you are looking at me as if this is very strange. Is he talking about Bible? He's talking about, what's he talking about?
Yes, everything's in the Bible. That's why Jesus said, disciple all nations. He says, go with all authority, heaven and earth. Heaven and earth will obey you if we obey God's commands. And so I believe this. I believe when we obey, I think first obedience is accept the identity that God gives us. Not the identity that the world gave us. When we accept God's identity, I am a son of God, then the whole world is mine. If I accept the identity, I am an orphan that will act like an orphan. But if I say I'm a son of God, I will act like a son of God. If I say I'm a slave of this nation, then I will live like a slave, work for this nation all of my life. But if I say I am a king, authority of King Jesus is mine, therefore I have king's authority, then I will live like king. What do real kings do? They die for their nation. They take care of their nation. They go, they learn, they do everything to make this nation greater for Jesus. Good news is that God is raising up Chinese diaspora leadership right now. And this is my concluding videos. New leadership. I want to share with you what new leadership will look like. This is old leadership. This is what most of the leadership schools around the world taught the past 50 years. This geese, group of geese. One geese in the front, rest of them following. This was old leadership style. This is probably the one thing that we used as an analogy, most leadership teaching in the world. This is how you save energy. You bring one person in the front, and the leader in the front, one leader in the front, they lead the way, and the others just glide with them and save 30% of energy. And when you're tired, you go back and the other person take over leadership. How many can this bird lead in this system? In numbers wise, very few people. Looks good, but let me show you what the next leadership looks like. You ready? Look at the number. There's very few leaders. There's 7.73. Here's the new leaders. Look at that. Now here there's about 50,000 birds there. Where's the leader? Can you identify the leading bird? Suddenly they all rise and they move together. Who's leading? There must be somebody leading, but you don't know who the leader is. Nobody's rising up. It's a season of invisible people rising up. No names. It's a season where you cannot even identify them. Everybody's together. That's why the Bible says the end time God for our spirits. All people, not some people. Who will lead? Sons and daughters will rise up to lead. Young men and women will rise up to lead. Old men and women will rise up to lead. Men will rise up to lead.
all of us. So who has the most number? Chinese. Who has the most Christians? Chinese. Who are spread out the most? Chinese. Who has the most churches? Chinese. So who will lead the next 70 years? Who is most blessed right now? In all areas of life, Chinese are being blessed. So this is my little analogy of new leadership.
Welcome to our top five animal cafes.
I don't know where this is coming from.
As Yuzu counts down the quirkiest.
So God is looking for one person. One person. I think we are all that one person. What do you think, Abraham? That's correct, right? Yes, amen. What do you think, Cheng?
I think you were right.
No, I'm not right. God is right. Yeah, I'm just repeating what God said. Yeah, I don't have any original idea. All my idea is from God. So I'm just repeating what he said. And I hope I did a good job. But as I end this session, I know there's a lot of information here. I try to integrate it so that it's not a, there's a lot of things that come to you in a different ways possible. So I've integrated videos and so on and so on. But I was going to have some time for questions, but it's already 9:29, so I have 1 minute, so let me use my last minute. What is our response? How will you respond? The Bible, you know, there's a 10-to-2 ratio. You know, one of the stories I really enjoy reading is the Bible when Moses sends 12 leaders, the top leaders of Israelites, across the Jordan River to check out the land and people that God promised to give it to them. So they sent 12 people there, leaders, top leaders. And after 40 days, they come back. What did the 10 leaders say after they came back? Do you remember this story? Yeah. Remember this story, Cheng? And what did the 10 people say? There's two responses right now that can come out of this audience right now. One response is the 10 leaders. They admitted that, you know, God's promise is so good. The land is so good. They admitted that. It's filled with milk and honey, which signifies a good land. And they even brought fruit. They said, but, this is a but generation. Yes, God is good. Yes, God's promise is this. But I'm having such a hard time. I'm so afraid. I can't do this. My parents are so miserable. My daughter's having so much problems. My church is terrible. My pastor is, so these but people. They have some but reasons. And they were filled with fear. And they said, we seem like grasshoppers. Their identity was like grasshoppers. They said, we seem like grasshoppers in our own view and in view of them. So they said they identify them as grasshoppers. And grasshoppers is one of the most miserable Israelites. They hate grasshoppers. So that's what their identity. And they gave negative report to all the people, Israelites. And they spread bad report. And they rebelled against the leader. They wanted to stone Moses and Caleb and Joshua. And they wanted to go back to Israel, not Israel, but Egypt. And they blamed God for their miserable condition. This is one response. Although they received God's promise, this is for people of God. They could respond this way. Anybody want to respond this way? 10-to-2, that's what happens. 10 people respond this way, 2 people respond different. Let's talk about 2 people. What did these 2 other leaders, Caleb and Joshua, do? What do they say? Land is exceedingly good, for we can certainly do it. They said, let's go get it. And they said they were filled with confidence, we will swallow them up. there's a giants in that cities that they went to, but they said, we will swallow them up. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine Abraham going to the, you know, one of the best universities, and he says, I'm going to swallow this university up. This anti-God rhetoric that's happening all over the world, in every university in America, and almost every university in America and Canada. You go, Abraham goes there, I'm going to swallow these people up and bring glory to God. And they gave positive report. God will lead us and give us to us. Positive report. God's promise. And they felt. And what happened? How did they respond? They didn't. How did they respond to their rebelling? They fell face down, tore their clothes. They repented. They were so humble before God and before them. And number five, only do not rebel against the Lord. This was rebelling against the Lord because they didn't accept God's promise. They became afraid. So we have a choice. If you didn't hear this seminar or this lecture or this message, you may not have a choice, but now you heard it, you have a choice. Will Chinese church rise up to take up your place in the world? To lead. Yeah. Will Chang rise up? Or will he say, I'm only a grasshopper. I can't do anything. This world is too big. Or will you rise up? Abraham, will you say, this Canada is exceedingly good, for we can certainly bring kingdom of God here. Filled with confidence, we will swallow them up, everything that's against God. And you give positive report to everybody in the world. He said, God will lead us and give this to us. And when they rebel against God, you fall face down, tear your clothes, and God forgive us. And no need to not rebel against the Lord. So this is our choice. Amen. Yeah. Anybody like to respond this way? Raise your hand. Anybody would like to respond this way? Raise your hand. How about you, Daisy? You don't know? You'd rather respond this way? No. She will find the third way. Make sure it's godly way. So I thank you for having me here. It's been my privilege. I'm just sad that we didn't have much time to interact more than I had today. I really enjoyed today, especially meeting one-on-one with several of you this afternoon. And I especially enjoyed meeting with Daisy this today and the young people. And so thank you. And if you invite me next time, I would love to come again. Maybe we'll go a little deeper issues. Now I gave you an introduction to what I wanted to share with you. So thank you so much. And let's just pray. If you have any questions afterwards, I'd be happy to stay afterwards as long as you like. So after this, you could ask questions. So thank you so much. Let's pray. If you can we all rise as we pray very briefly? I want to pray for three things. And if you could raise your hand, I feel that we are very powerful people with authority of God, authority heaven and authority on earth. Let's bless Vancouver. Through us, Lord God, may Vancouver be blessed. You know, being blessed from the Lord through us. Blessed spiritually, materially, in every socially, every way possible, educationally, every way possible, healing-wise, every way possible, may God bless and kingdom of God come to Vancouver and so that God will forgive this nation for this city and renew this city again and be a blessing. So first, just for 1 minute, let's bless Vancouver. pray together, okay? A little bit of voice so you could hear your voice. Pray. Don't just stand there. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this Vancouver, Lord God. I thank you for this beautiful city of God. Thank you. You have so many Christian churches here that you established, Lord God, so that we could be a blessing. So would you bless this city? Bless from the one corner to the other corner. Bless especially the sick people, people who are down and trodden and having such a difficult time. Would you visit them, Lord God? You said visit the orphans and widows, Lord God. So would you visit them and raise them up, Lord God? Provide the things that they need, Lord God. And especially pray for sick people, Lord God. I pray that there be healing, Lord God. I thank you for the families, Lord God. Let the families be blessed. Thank you for the businesses, the commerce be blessed. Government be blessed, Lord God. And entertainment, artists and singers and entertainers, may they be blessed by God. So thank you, Lord. Would you bring kingdom of God here? Thank you. And second thing I'd like us to pray, can we pray for the Chinese church? I mean, I don't know how many Chinese churches are in this area, but maybe 100 or so. I don't know, about 30, 40 Korean churches, other ethnic churches. Let's pray for all churches to truly church become the light and the salt to this city. And together we could do that very quickly. So let the unity of God come upon the churches all over this city. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, Lord God. Thank you. Use the Chinese church. Bring all churches together to be a blessing to this city and to the nations and to the ends of the earth, Lord God. You have raised them up. There's challenges, yes, we know. But because you will raise up the leaders, we will bring in solutions, Lord God. And we will pray for that solution. Let there be such a huge united prayer movement here, Lord God, in this city through your church. God bless them, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. And lastly, can we pray for our families here? Pray for one another, our husbands and wives and children, and children for mom and dads and grandparents. Pray that there be such a powerful supernatural transformation and blessing. The new doors open, both economically, spiritually, educationally, everything that we planned, that God will bless because we will do it according to His word. So let's pray for our families and bless each other. So thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for our families, Lord God. Thank you bringing our families. Lord God, we pray for our mother and fathers. We pray for our children, Lord God, sons and daughters, Lord God. Forgive us if we have done anything wrong to embitter their hearts, Lord God. And forgive us for not training them in righteousness by the word of God, but we've been training them according to the worldly ways. So forgive us, Lord God. But now, Lord God, bless us with your word and your blessings, Lord God, so that we could truly, truly impact this city and this nation and schools and the business sector, Lord God, and the workplace that we belong to. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you for every single person here. God bless them. Father God, thank you for the privilege and honor of being and standing here in front of these beautiful people, O God. I pray all these things that we prayed and beyond that, you will do a new and fresh new thing here, O God, just like you did 2,000 years ago. And next 45 days, O God, may we spend our time with Jesus and in prayer, just like 2,000 years ago, disciples spent 40 days with resurrected Jesus and spent time in prayer. And 50 days later, there was a powerful outpouring of the Holy Spirit they all experienced in the upper room. Lord God, do it again here, supernaturally. So next 45 days, Lord God, may we spend time with Jesus alone and receive the kingdom of God. And as we pray, Lord God, our hearts will be with you. And you will release new treasures of God, new blessings, new spirit, and new heart, and be able to do new things of God. Just like in Ezekiel chapter 36 and 37, give us new heart and new spirit, Lord God. When we prophesy, God, let the bones come alive. When we prophesy, speak into them, Lord God, let life come into them, Lord God, so that new army of God will rise from Vancouver to the nations. And use the Chinese church, Lord God,
to stimulate greatest movement of God for all churches around the world. Thank you, Jesus. Be glorified, be honored in our midst. Jesus, you are the King. You are the King of our problems. You are the King of our failures. You are the King over all of our sins. And we know that you will make good through all of this for those who love you, who are called according to your purposes. So thank you that you will create good out of this. We just submit ourselves to you. Thank you. Until next time, we place a sevenfold blessing upon every single person here. And we pray all of this in precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's give God a big clap offering. And you could have a seat. And thank you for, it's a little over time, but thank you for your patience. And God bless you.